Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to the, I can't believe I'm going to say this, the 100th episode of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two main co-hosts, but we've got a third ex-co-host with us today. So I'm Tom Hunyadi. You may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. And with me, as always, is my new partner in crime, and he is the backward traveler, like I like to call him, and he is Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on?
Hey, I'm happy to be here to celebrate this 100th episode, and it's my 30th or 31st, which is
Something like that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. Well, by the time this is posted, I think this will be like around your 32nd and 33rd episode.
Still, and we're almost inside of a year since I've been on, which is crazy.
It is crazy, and I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, happy to be here, and then thanks, man. With 100 episodes, congratulations to you guys.
Thank this guy down below for leaving. So,
dude, you did in 11 months like a third of the show that we did in 3 years. So, you guys aren't like, I'm like, I'm out. Tom's like, screw you, I'm going to the moon to this, and I'll take credit for 67% of this.
There you go.
Well deserved too, because you got it off the ground. Pun
intended. Yeah. Yeah, so Tom, I was your foundation to be with your heroes.
Let me introduce you first.
Jeez. Oh, all right, cut it. You're gonna have to edit.
Talking about ex partners in crime, he is the man that helped me and us get this show off the ground. As Andy said, he was the man behind the curtain. I think he liked to say, because he would never want to do video. But then now here he is doing video for the second time. But coming back to celebrate the 100th anniversary is my old co-host.
Are we that old?
Yeah, something like that.
It felt like it.
My old co-host, my favorite. Well, I'm not going to say that.
I'm not your favorite anymore, Tom. Hey. Say it is.
Exactly.
But
anyways, my cousin, David Gargolino. David, what's going on, buddy?
Tom, Andy, how's it going? It's already going to be a good show. Yes, I'm the face behind the voice, or the voice behind the face. People, because of the comments the last, I'm like, oh, that's who he was for 3 years. That boy. Yeah. God should hide behind a curtain again.
Right. Well, thanks
Come
for
on,
being
Oz,
here,
go
buddy.
Behind that curtain again, Oz. Let's
go.
Yeah,
you could have put a curtain up, actually. That would have been hilarious. Anyways, thanks for being here, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on and celebrating this occasion. I never would have thought that would happen when we first started this show. I thought we were just going to, fun. I thought we were just going to, this would be a great way for us to bond as we were doing before we started the show. Back in 2009 at my wedding.
Yeah.
That's where we got reacquainted. And, since then, it's just been, day after day after day, nonstop texting or emailing or whatever. So, but thanks for being here. And anyways, we're going to talk about one little thing, which I know is probably irritating to some people. Now, here's the thing. We're recording this on, September 2nd. This probably won't get posted for a couple more weeks. But anyways, as of right now, on Amazon, the Flaming Pie box set is $176. Now, this is probably the best deal, unless you had, monies or coupons or, whatever to get a better deal than this. But this is the best deal out there that I've seen. And David, you chose to...
Hold on.
Andy and I, we got it from Amazon at the price of what, $249 or something like that?
$249, regular retail price.
Right. And then on, I think the day of or day before, like hours before midnight or whatever, then we get it for, what was it?
$215.
$215 or something.
Yeah, we got a rebate back.
Yeah, so we got a little bit of a rebate back. Yeah, so it went over, it came down a bit. But this going down to $176 is, where it should have been all along. So, but David, tell us,
Well, that deal was so good, I bought it.
Yeah.
So I did. And I got it the next day. So that's,
wow.
So this story goes so far back, I'm in front of me. And
Good.
Okay, so let's go back to June. It gets announced 256. Okay, that's kind of like MSR retail. Beyond MSR, that's just like, I think Walmart, Target, all those chains had that exact price, and after tax it was like 278. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to any concerts right now since March, so
right.
But I'm buying other music too, so I'm just not in the McCartney bubble. So I'm like, fine. So I pre-ordered it, and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, screw it. I looked
at. You pre-ordered it with Amazon, right?
Oh, back in June, yeah. Okay. So I canceled it, and I was like, all right, whatever. I'll just, you know, I'm on the Hoffman forums, and everyone's like, try import CDs or Bull Moose or you so I discovered.
Think Bull Moose had it for $1.99.
Yeah, and so I still think I had the Amazon going for a while, up until like July 4th holiday. Mm.
Okay.
And then I'm hearing word that import CDs has it for like, was it like 162 plus tax? And then you discovered had it, they had like a deal up until the end of the month. It was like already 25% off plus a 20% coupon. Mm. So I was like, fine, I'll get, so I already had the import CD bought. So I was like, I'll just eBay it. You know, if I get both, I'll see. And I heard that they're so on the shipping, you know, condition. It gets released on that Friday, and I knew I wasn't going to get it from Udiscover, and I knew I wasn't going to get it from imports right away. And so come Monday, I get the one from the import.
And this CD. Is after the Monday after release day?
Yeah. Okay. So I got the CD imports version, and it kind of had a ding on the corner. I'm like, I'm really anal about that. And so that one sold that first night I put on eBay. Yes, I think
I remember you.
Basically, I underballed Amazon, which was still better. It still was $20 more than I bought it from the CD imports, and that sold off. Mm-hmm. And I think the 3LP set came later that week, the end of the week, which is fine. So I dove into that. Thinking, okay, you discover a couple weeks, maybe 2 weeks out from the release, nothing.
Right.
So I'm just like, I kind of want this deluxe box set. You know, every one of their mothers been doing a review, and it's like, right. I kind of want to just dive into it. And then I was on vacation, and I kind of surfed the web a little bit when I had the chance, and someone said, yeah, Amazon has it. You know, and other people were filing issues and complaints to you right. Discover. And I filed it with PayPal because I paid via through PayPal, and it's still in the process of being reviewed. They reviewed it, but they'll get back to me on like Sunday. We'll see. Mm. So Amazon had it for $176. I'm like, that's the price it always should have been. I get it. It's a little bit more than the other sets, but whatever. Instant purchase. It came like the next day too. Like,
well, you've got a plant right there, don't you?
A few, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I was okay with a few days. So this damn box set from Udiscover, supposedly in process from July 30th, is still not to me. So,
and there's no way to cancel it.
No, but I'm sending them. There's correspondence through my email. They're like, hey, contact UPS. Well, it never got there. So Udiscover was good on the LP side because it came within like a week and a half of the release.
I had heard a lot of horror stories from ordering from Udiscover.
But my 71 to 73 set came right. from Ferndale, which is like four cities away from me, around the same time it got released. So they like the Ultra Deluxe apparently gets shipped from a different center. So I sold one set off, and I got the other one, and I'm waiting for either a refund from PayPal, and if the other one ships and I get it for free, so be it, whatever. If they cancel, cool, because I want it off my credit card. So,
right.
Yeah, that's so.
So, do you think this would be the? I mean, you're going to continue ordering from Udiscover?
No. No, not it. I mean, unless they gave me like a sweet deal, or
that's the thing with ordering from stuff that's not Amazon or even Bull Moose. It's just like, you know, I've ordered stuff from McCartney.com before, and they, you know, they'll ship the stores on time. The stores will get it, but you, the individual, the independent individual, they'll ship those to you on the day of release. So you won't get, you know, the chances of you getting anything from McCartney.com or you Discover on day of release is
I never expected that, but like a month and 4 days later. But the thing is, when you look at $161 compared to $275, money talks at that point, and you're like, I can wait. And I, and in my waiting and shuffling around, I got the Amazon deal, which I should have just been patient for me. But the Amazon deal from $216 went back to $256 like a week and a half ago, and then it went down to $176 again. So I thought I was going to screw myself from the, again, you know, just to just buy it at the original price. So.
Right. So you just got the, you just finally got the box set to open.
I got it Monday.
Right. So, and it's what, Wednesday today. So you really haven't had time to look into it.
No, I downloaded the high res stuff, 'cause I try to get that on DVD just before those links expire, just for, just to have it for future. Mm-hmm.
This being the 100th anniversary, we thought, you know, just scroll down memory lane a little bit, talk about, you know, shows, you know, shows of Two Legs Past, and, you know, some of our experiences that we've had. I know David has had some, you know, fun editing experiences, and I've had some, you know, fun interview experiences. And
that might be my favorite moment. I was not a part of it. I woke up from it.
Yes. Anyways, we'll get to that in a second. But anyways, you know, and I'm sure Andy will have a couple questions too about, you know, the start of it. But anyways, but I remember back in 2012, I think you texted me, David, and you said, hey, you gotta check out this show, this Beatles podcast called I don't think it was called Things We Said Today. And I think really pretty much that was the start of it for us, really, and the fact that it was, you know, at the time it was just Ken Michaels and Steve Marinucci.
Well, and I had followed Steve from like 2002 with the Abbey Road page.
Right. Yeah. So then, you know, listening to them, I think it was episode 9, and they were talking about the Magical Mystery Tour and how, you know, they were going back and forth and arguing about that. And I just thought this was going to be, I think, a cool show. So naturally, you know, stuck with it. Proud to say that, you know, Andy and I just guest spotted on there after, you know, enjoying the show for many, many years.
I told you, Tom, you're going to be on this show one day.
Well, you know.
And he's your peer now.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. I mean, you look up to him. He's accomplished over 38 years, but you're on a show with him consistently.
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, mind-blowing in itself. And then, you know, finding other shows like Something About the Beatles and then Fab Four Free For All. And then, you know, Ed Chen's earlier version of When They Was Fab. And then another one called I've Got a Beatles Podcast. So those were like the early podcasts that, you know, I was listening to and enjoying. Now, all those shows were fine, but the thing that all those shows had in common was they were more Beatles-centric, and then they would throw in solo stuff here and there, which was nice. And then now David, you know, David and I at the time, I mean, we were big solo geeks at that time. I mean, yeah, we spent all of our early Beatle years just listening to Beatles nonstop, and then, you know, we gradually went towards the solo stuff, and that's where we were at that time back in 2012 and 13 and all that stuff. So we would always kind of go back and forth, or I would go back and forth with them about maybe starting something to present something solo, because there was nothing at the time that was dedicated just to solo. However, I did learn that Jude Kessler did have a John Lennon podcast, but again, that also dug into his Beatle years as well. So I just wanted to have something that was strictly solo related material. And, you know, and I think we were even questioning whether, you know, who, you know, should we do John or whatnot. But it was just like, okay, at the time, you know, you and I were just listening to a ton of Paul. It just made sense to do Paul because
his wide, you know, catalog of
exactly 50 years of consistent music, you know, and whether it's not, if it's his regular canon or his, you know, his
projects,
Fireman,
films,
you know, Yeah, it films, you know, all of the orchestration stuff. So it just made sense to go with McCartney, which I had no problem with because, you know, we were, you know, I was just listening to McCartney nonstop. So, you know, after, you know, pushing that idea around with David for a while, I think I finally broke him. And I think this is what, 2016. So like 4 years.
Maybe even 15. I mean, yeah. I mean, you had mentioned it. Yeah. Kind of maybe a couple years before we actually, I agreed or went with it.
Mm-hmm. And I knew, I mean, plus I think I knew that you were more on the technical side of things with the technology and, you know, knowing how to, you know, do that kind of stuff.
Somewhat, so, yeah.
You know, and, but anyways, but there was so I would say things we said today was a big influence for me. And then now there's a KISS podcast out there. If people know me, know I'm a huge KISS fan as well. So there's a KISS podcast out there called Three Sides of the Coin, which is a takeoff or on one of their songs called Two Sides of the Coin. So there's three sides, there's three hosts, so they just, you know, change the two to a three.
Kind of an inverse of this show.
Exactly. Exactly. There you go.
Well, like the naming, you might touch on the name. You had two names. It was Talk More Talk and Two Legs.
Right, right.
Which and, you used and, both, you know, we end up. You know,
yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. And that's what, you know, before we went with the show, you know, I had called Ken Michaels and, you know, he had talked about it and he had said he had always thought that a great idea for a show would be called Talk More Talk. But, you know, I was all gung-ho over the name Two Legs because one is, this, you know, it's a takeoff on a song, you know, and then the two, you know, two co-hosts, you know, so... But yeah, Talk More Talk, and then obviously, you know, a couple years later, that gets utilized anyways. So, but yeah, so those two shows, you know, Three Sides of the Coin, just because it was more of a, you know, a couple guys at the bar or a restaurant talking about their favorite band, and that's really what the kind of thing I wanted to, you know, bring to this show, just a couple fans. And I do not consider myself, no matter how long I do the show, I will never consider myself an expert. You know, up to the point where, you know, Robert Rodriguez or Buskin or, you know, those guys and or Lewison, because, I'm, you know, first and foremost, I'm a fan. And no matter how much I read about Paul or whatever, listen to Paul, it's because I'm a fan, you know, and it's because I want to learn more about, you know, his music and other things involving Paul. But that was the gist of it. I mean, it was just, you know, a couple guys talking about their favorite musician and, you know, and luckily we were able to pull it off. And then, so I think we basically spent about a month getting ready, maybe two. I don't remember. Do you remember how much time we spent?
I don't know how much time you spent. I mean, it didn't take long for me. Yeah. I gotta listen. I think we should one day sit down and listen to the first episode.
I will never listen to the first episode. No, because looking back at it now, I was in a hurry to do it because in the back of my mind, I'm going, somebody else is doing this right now.
You had an urgency.
Sure as shit. A month later, we find out that three other people. There's three other McCartney shows out there.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was All McCartney, which I don't think is going on anymore. I think there was a couple that was doing that show. Then there was, the, you know, the Take It Away guys, and they just did the albums. And then, you know, then there's our buddy Sam with All McCartney. Or was it Paul? I'm sorry, Paul or Nothing.
Paul or Nothing.
Yeah. And then us. And then we, and it was all in a 4 month span. You know? And it's just funny how that turned out, you know, and then, you know, here we are 100 episodes later, which I'm just still, I just can't.
I mean, you'll be at 1,000 episodes by 2022. Maybe not if Andy has any saying it.
Anyways, we gotta get Andy, you know, keep him at home, a school at home or something like that. I think at first the only place that we promoted the show really was, I think, on the McCartney.com fan board, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I was keeping like weekly update. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we did almost 30 episodes in the first season. So
right.
Sorry about season 2 and 3. They were a little light.
What's a season anymore?
Oh, sorry. That's right. You guys go all year. It's like all year school. Tom, when you move to the East Coast, you're going to realize how much you need summers because Arizona is always, you know, the same old warmth. And
right.
So I looked at it from like a school semester to semester summer, and I needed that.
Right.
So,
all right. So, you know, going moving forward, then, you know, how much stuff did you need to prepare for your editing end, David?
Preparing? Know? No,
yeah, did you have to get any like tools or anything like that to?
Oh, the one thing that I did buy, because I already had the music DAW, you know, the Logic through my Mac and the newer computer I had at the time. The only thing I had to do was get the Skype recorder.
Okay.
And I think it was like a $29 one-time purchase. Mm. And it worked up until we tried to do that last episode last September. And I think I was out of energy, and so was the app. But that was it. So
What was that? September of 2018?
Yeah, the
19. Well, we tried to do one more episode in September.
Your first interview, the Adrian Allen.
We did 3 hours of that show, and realizing the audio recorder
wasn't working. September 2019, that was when you said that's it.
Yeah. Well, I actually said, I think I'm out. I think end of August.
You said prior.
But I wanted, so my thing, I mean, you took the show beyond, and I'm happy, and I'm glad, because you had that foundation. You didn't want to start new again. And but I wanted to help you because you may were thinking maybe I turned into a YouTube thing, and I was like, I was gonna help engineer you until you got off the ground, so to speak. But and then we tried to do that one episode, and it just didn't work out. And I'm like, all right, I think someone's trying to tell me something. And
well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, looking back at it now, I can see, you know, you're being Paul, you know, I can see now, you know, how maybe, you know, it could, you know,
see you on the pub.
Editing, you know, can be like a burnout, you know, in a way.
You know,
you have to block time out. You just have to dedicate time to do it so it doesn't overtake your life, you know.
Because I play music, I work. Right. I mean, we all have other things, you know. And I work. I have a boss in the office, at home. You know, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but when you're married, you know, we're all married. We have, you know, stuff to do. But yeah, it's blocking off time. And Tom, you know, I love sleeping. I'm like the John Lennon of the two legs. I just love sleep. And I did want the divorce and blah, blah, you know, and it's all this now. But, you know, no, I mean, editing, and I can't imagine video because there's much, you know, more rendering and all that. Me, I just basically dump. So the cool thing about the Skype audio is you'd have one file and you would decompress it. You would split up the out and the two different sides are two separate audio tracks. I line that up into, you know, the program. Usually if Tom's internet connection was all right, we're good. If it wasn't, I'm literally there in real time cutting, moving the track over. And, you know, a couple times here and there is fine. But, yeah,
right.
That one episode with Kid O'Toole, our first time with, she was our first interviewer.
Guest. Yeah, she was our first guest. Yeah,
it was like cutting in and out, like every 10, you know, like I literally had 200 edits, and yeah.
But the thing is when we're recording the show, it doesn't look like. I mean, you don't hear any like stops or anything like that.
You're gonna hear that all in the recording. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't really know yourself that
it's gonna do that.
Exactly. You're right. Right.
Yeah.
So but, while he's taking 2 weeks to edit that episode.
That was a brutal one, but
you know. And that was your probably, you know, because up until that point it was just, you know, it was you and I were talking about, you know, we did that first episode on Pierre McCartney, which was fine. You know, then we started getting into more, you know, opinionated stuff. Like, you know, we, our second and third show was more like our favorite songs, least favorite songs, and then favorite albums and least favorite albums. So, because we wanted to keep it, you know, objective too. We wanted to show that, you know, there was also stuff that we didn't like from Paul. You know, there's just as much as stuff that we did love from Paul. So, you know, we did that, and then we started digging into a couple albums. You know, we talked about the tours because, you know, like you said, you've seen what Paul, what, 8 or 9 times now or something like that?
7 or 8.
Yeah. So, you know, we did a live show and stuff like that, talked about a few of the albums. But, and then I always saw us as kind of like an interview style show as well. And as well as, you know, the one-on-one, which is a lot of fun. You know, just to make sure that the chemistry is still there between, you know, the two. But yeah, I mean, having Kid O'Toole as the first guest was for me really nerve-wracking. And I just, you know, I remember emailing Ken, you know, hey, you know, I know you know Kit, you know, how is she, you know, is she easy to interview or whatnot. Ken was like, yeah, don't sweat it, you know, she's a pro. You know, yeah. but before we hit the record button, you know, Kit had gotten the that Yellow Submarine logo set. So we spent like about 20 minutes, you know, talking about that, and that kind of like, you know, broke the ice and, you know, calmed things down.
But so, Tom, this is your formation of the relationships you've created, because mm-hmm. you know, I'm anti-Facebook and all that. So you were connecting with them in the past and developing those relationships that now you work with them. But, and that was your, I think that's your strong point. And you were the go-getter, you know, I was kind of like the engineer commentator. I saw myself as that, as a support. I know it was like a, you know, kind of an equal kind of billing, but I was the guy that hit the record button, edit, throw my 2 cents in, but you did more of the research, the interviews, the setup. I think I set up maybe one interview and did some of that.
Yeah,
but
you did the yeah,
A is for Apple.
The A is for Apple. You know, author was it Alex Kornoff or
yeah,
something? Yeah, and that was great. You know, doing that interview, and we'll talk about other favorite, you know, interviews in a second. But yeah, so that first, you know, initial run, I think was like 13 episodes before we got to Kit.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was important for us because it established, you know, the chemistry, excuse me. And I think it, you know, kind of prepared us for, you know, interviews in the future, just because I think, you know, we were used to, you know, talking to each other, you know, doing on this platform or whatever. But, you know, in Skype in a way, I think that was, you know, Zoom around. No. So how long has Zoom been around?
It might have been around, but maybe I don't think it was
not as right. It wasn't a big deal.
No, back then it was probably still Skype was the leading one.
Right. So then now we're learning how to use Skype, and then trying to learn how to, you know, connect to with 3-4 people at a time, and then, you know, not being a technical person myself, trying to learn that kind of stuff. And then now as I was getting good with Skype, then we made the switch over to Zoom, you know, which has been a big improvement, I think, personally.
Well, Tom, you wanted us to be a video thing, and I kind of pushed back, and I think I had video recording capabilities as well. I just am not a public person, and I mean, maybe a few beers in me, you know, you'll get to know me better, but yeah, man, you were the face. Though I got to meet Kit before, you know, I met her.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because you had the Sgt. Pepper
symposium in Ann Arbor.
Symposium, right.
So when we interviewed her the second time, I think in end of March or maybe April, she mentioned she was, you know, what she was doing that summer or upcoming events. And she's like, oh, yeah, for the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper at U of M Ann Arbor. I'm like, that's like 40 miles from me. I'm like, so I logged on and I registered. Right. And got to meet her and Ken Scott and Anthony DeCurtis. And you know, the funny thing is, you were saying, Tom, that you feel like you're still a fan, but now you work with these scholars and, you know, like, so that symposium I thought was going to be more of a public thing. I found myself, I was in the center of that academic world.
Right.
And I'm like,
and I was looking at the Walmart back of your head for 3 days.
Oh, yeah, because they had the live. I was like up right. front, like the teacher's pet. And I was asking questions.
It was a virtual fest, pretty much.
It was. And people were asking, like, are you with the newspaper? Because I'm asking Anthony Curtis certain questions right. and Ken Scott. And people were like, are you with someone? I'm like, no, I'm just here for my 34th birthday, you know. Because my birthday is on June 1st. And I was right. like, perfect time for the Pepper celebration. And, oh, yeah, Kit was wonderful. Got to meet her. And then right. I met Ken Womack the last day. And so I'm like, okay, I got to meet the people that are your peers now that you're working with. But it was the academic world. I'm like, yeah, it was quite the treat.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And that was very enjoyable. I think the only thing that didn't get what was on the virtual side of it was Ken Womack's George Martin, you know, talk, because I think he was just starting doing the George Martin bio.
If you need any audio, I think I recorded 16 gigabytes of.
You sent it to me.
So I have to ask Kit if she liked her, you know, her presentations.
So when I started asking you about having guests on or whatever, were you fine with that and stuff?
Like authors and such.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, at the end, I felt like the format was getting, and there's no dig. It's just like, this is how I felt. Just like, I was still the commentary supporter, and it's like, fuck, like I don't read a lot and I have tons of books and that was your thing. And no, I enjoy it because you get to hear the human side of the author behind the name. So I like that. But after, you know, I'm not saying after a while, I moved on for my own reasons of just like, I love doing stuff like this, but on a regular basis, I have other things I want to tackle and the world is crazy. Who knows? I might be a regular full timer in 5 years from now. You know what I mean? But, you know, but right. As cousins, yeah, I'll bust your balls anytime on any show. So, and you're gonna give me a bad name because people aren't gonna like. People are like, I'm glad you got rid of that asshole. Because so what game we're playing later today is not gonna get me bonus points in someone's right. world that likes certain things. So,
right.
but I think that's the name of the game that you wanted to play.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's the thing is because, you know, having so many books, you know, and gradually reading them, because I had a system where, because I'm a big Stephen King fan, so I would had a system where I would read a Beatle book and then a Stephen King book. Beatle book, Stephen King book, and then back and forth. And then one of the things Ken Michaels told me back before we started, he goes, once you get started with this, it will not end. It never ends.
I mean, you know, I don't read that often, even though I buy books. I still haven't finished like the first three chapters of Tune In, the right. deluxe edition. And I bought it from the UK in 2014 before right. they had it here, like in 2018. And I'll tell you, that book is detailed, but I didn't necessarily need to know about the great grandfather McCartney and Lennon. I mean,
I like all that. That's
it's the historic is there. But I'm looking, obviously, one day to volume two to get deeper, kind of like the George Martin stuff. Like, I enjoy his early years, but I want, you know, the meat of 66 to 2016 is my go-to. But
yeah. So, I mean, definitely, so going back to the author thing, you know, having all these books, for me, it was more or less, okay, this might light a fire, you know, to get me to read, you know, more of these books, which it did. You know, I was finding myself, you know, digging into more of the McCartney books that I had at the time. You know, once we knew that we were going to interview people like Jerry Hammack, who had the, you know, Beatles reference book, which we, you know, I became really, ended up becoming really good friends with him. And that, you know, that was cool.
And we got credits. Thank you credits on
that. Oh yeah, absolutely. Which, I mean, that was. Cause
your uncle said, I'm not sure if you bought a couple copies. He's like, here, I got this book. Sorry, I didn't buy the book, but so he gave it him. I'm reading. I'm like, wait, we're like the last two thank yous. I'm like, yeah. I've never been into like something I didn't pay for. I'm in a book, right. you know.
Right. So it was, that was cool. I had no idea that was going to happen. And then, so he put us in on the thank yous, and I thought that was really cool. And, you know, like I said, I got to know him. I got to hang out with him on a couple occasions, and, you know, he's a great guy. You know, so, and then people like, Jeff Cummins, who was the illustrator.
Looking at it as a kid.
I could always tell when you were excited about an episode because you had it posted quick.
God damn, Dave, I've been waiting like a whole week. Yeah, no, like, because the picture that I always looked at as a kid at my dad's record collection, I think every kid did, was like, what the hell's McCartney sitting down with an ovation when everyone's rocking out on their guitar? And nowhere did that actually happen. It's a composite
kind of
situation. And
the inner sleeve of the Wings Over America.
The fact that we got like the direct source
right
background, you know, and then the Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson superimposition on whatever 45 single, you know.
Yeah, so he did the Temporary Secretary, he did this one. He did the inner sleeve for Wings Over America, and he did Say, Say, Say as well, I believe.
Yeah, and so, it was supposed to be Stevie Wonder, and he put Michael Jackson's face over that. And I was like, that is incredible.
So, yeah, the stories he told were fantastic. And then, you know, even more after the interview, you know, was really cool. So, you know, we got to learn a lot from him.
Got a question, Tom. Do you feel like maybe you guys could re-interview these people and almost do it better, or with now the your experiences and practice, you can almost get maybe a deeper extended cut?
Maybe, but I mean, it's, we, you know, we've experienced it already. I mean, if there was nothing new, I mean, if Jeff Cummins didn't do a new, you know, McCartney illustration for a 45 or an album, you know, I really don't see the point in going back, you know, to that, except for just maybe to have, you know, you, so Andy him. Could experience that, because that'd be cool for Andy, because the experience had as well, you know, to get him, you know, that, but
you guys are doing something with the whole world going on right now, the way it is, people need an outlet, stay at concerts. They're probably doing the video podcast. And so I value it for you guys more than I gave myself credit, because, you know, I didn't take it as serious as you may have. And I didn't feel I was pulling my weight, so I think I backed out of the game. So you've created and continue something with Andy that is going to go on hopefully for years. And then I only wish you guys were getting like paid and,
well,
and sponsorship, you
trust
know.
Trust me. I mean, that's in the back of my, back of my mind, you know, stuff like that, you know, and I'll talk more about what my hopes are for the future, you know, in a little bit. But, you know, going back, you know, I remember I finally picked up, I always knew of the McCartney interview. Okay. And I knew you knew it as well. I finally bought it. And this is
You just bought it?
Prior to us.
Oh, okay. All right.
Getting
the
ball rolling with Vic Garbarini. So you know, this interview was a great interview. It's right up there, I think, with the Chris Sullivan.
Oh, the official interview.
Yeah, the official interview that he did for
you guys. All right, set it up for Andy. Yeah, to laugh his balls off too.
So here we are. You know, I'm going, okay, let's see if we can get Vic Garbarini, because here's a guy that actually sat down with McCartney, MPL, conducted this interview. You know, he got a tour. I mean, he got a tour at MPL. He went down to the basement and got to see the exact Abbey Road studio replica that he had. You know, working studio that he had in the basement. You know, so I'm going, okay, great. We're gonna get somebody. He agreed. I'm just like, you know, shitting myself because we got somebody that actually was involved with McCartney, and
he
agrees to come on, but doesn't agree to come on Skype.
No. There's a legal ramification.
That's right. And I forgot all about that. He wanted to do all that, but it ended up not happening. He's like, okay, I want to send you a legal document.
Oh, the legal,
yeah, he wanted to send a legal document saying that
we weren't going to release on vinyl or something, or
right, we weren't going to, you know, get paid for this interview or whatnot.
Oh, he made sure that you couldn't make this commercial, dude. Set it up.
So he doesn't want to come on Skype because his internet connection is not great. So like, fine, okay. So I go to David. I say, look, man. We'll just do.
I was already being pushed out of two legs back in.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, so we come up with the time. I call him up. I think it's 8 o'clock my time. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, maybe 6 o'clock my time.
And it was like 8 o'clock my time.
8 o'clock his time, because it was a 2-hour difference at the time. So the first 20 minutes is just like, you know, hey, how you doing? This, that, Joni Mitchell, this, and, you know, I saw this person then. So it's all over the map. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope this is how this interview is going to turn out. So finally start getting to talk about the interview. So he talks about, you know, I asked him about, you know, becoming a journalist and all that stuff. And then we get into interviewing McCartney. So the setup is nice. The first, what you hear on that part one of the McCartney interview episode with Vic Garbarini is pretty much intact. So I don't think you had a lot of editing to do on that one. So once we get into the second hour, well, first of all, that first episode is the first 2 hours of the conversation, because the call dropped twice.
Talk about a brutal editing job. I mean, yeah. At least with the Kid O'Toole, it was consistently on, like, it's just happening with logistical, like, questions and answers. Yeah, it was all over the place.
So
anyway, that's just the first 2 hours.
Right, so they call him back. Now,
and you're recording through your phone. You have an app.
I'm recording on the phone. I downloaded a phone app. To record the conversation. So call him back. Okay, he's like, sorry. So there's another 20-minute conversation, and then I'll go, okay, so getting back to this. So for that, I'm on the phone with him again now for 4 hours.
Andy, that's so, not over. It's not.
It's not.
This is part two of.
So now I'm on the phone with him for 4 hours. So here now. He'll talk 5 minutes about – we'll talk about his whole experience interviewing McCartney. And then out of left field, he just goes into a completely different topic.
I think he thought you were his shrink.
Something like that. But however, and it was nonstop. And so this is why we haven't gotten a part two yet of that interview, because that's
3 years later.
That 4-hour segment is just all over the map. It would take
– Andy, you want to edit that?
No. No, I don't.
It would probably take a month to make somewhat of a
cohesive kind of.
It was just all over the place.
It was all over the place. I could not.
How much longer were we on the
conversation back?
What's that?
You couldn't steer the conversation back to the top.
I was trying. You know, I had learned so much during this amount of time, which I'll get to in a second. So 4 hours go by, phone call drops again. Call him back. When I call him again, it's 4 a.m. my time. No, I'm sorry. 2 a.m. my time.
Okay, it's 4 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
And it's, where is he?
He's in New York. I think he's upstate. I think it was upstate New York.
Okay, so it's like 7 a.m.
Yeah, right. So call again. He goes, you know, I'll go, okay, listen. You know, it's getting late. He goes, you know, no, I think I can keep going. I'm like, okay, great, let's keep going. So another 2 hours. Now, I don't think I get off the phone with him until like 5 o'clock my time.
I'm already at work. I was hanging out my house having dinner when you started, and then I think I was at work. I'm like, so how did the interview go? I just finished interviewing him. I'm like, yeah, I know, last night. No, like an hour ago. I'm like, are you freaking shitting me? Like, I don't think I've ever talked to a girlfriend that long or my wife that long continuously. We would like fall asleep.
Right. So, you know, so then we're continuing the interview. So then now we're at the aftermath. We're talking about the interview's done. It gets nominated for a Grammy, you know, all this and stuff. Like, so it's the last 2.5 hours of the call is only like an hour's worth of it is actual
real, you know, stuff.
Real stuff that I could use. Exactly. So going back, I could only listen. Going back, I've tried to listen to the part two, the 4-hour segment. I've tried to listen to that on 4 different occasions, and after 20 minutes, I can't.
So were you on the phone with him for like 8 hours?
Yes, 8 hours. I was on the phone with Vic Arborini.
You know now, what? You know what? Challenge accepted. Send that freaking file. I'll do it.
Oh my God.
I'll do it.
So,
wow.
And then before we hang up, he's like, oh my God, thank you. I felt like, you know, I felt like McCartney did. I just started blurbing. This was actually.
Hey, really, I would get bored if McCartney talked to me for 8 hours. After a while, you're like, okay, I've heard. Right.
Because he had told me, like, this is like the first time he's actually
talked with someone since McCartney?
Yeah. Gone. This, you know, he's never really been interviewed about this interview, so I think he was more or less excited to talk
about
it.
Nobody contacted him to talk about this.
He's done small little 5-minute clips about it.
Okay.
And I was trying to get more in depth about the whole experience.
And let's face facts here: the average Beatle fan has no clue who the hell Vic Corberini is. So, like,
no, true. True, but the big deal about it is that this was like the first interview where he started talking about the Beatles again.
I get that, but I'm saying, like, with all Vic stuff with the legal and I'm not going to do this. Like, who are you?
I know.
Nobody knows.
Well, right. Tom, maybe we'll get into the next guy who's more controversial. Actually, we turned him down.
Right.
So.
I think I know who this is.
Yeah, because good. So now fast forward. Another year or two later.
Yeah.
This guy's a clown.
Yeah.
So I'm posting a recent episode on one of the Paul McCartney Facebook pages. Okay. And I think it's a late night. I think you had posted the episode late or something like that. And then so now I'm posting it.
Well, because it was always like 12:30 in my morning, but like 9 o'clock your time.
Right, exactly. So I think you would always like would post it and then go to bed or something like that.
Yeah.
So out of the blue, I get a ding on the phone, and it's a green dot, and I know it's an instant messenger notification. Look at it, and I see the name Jeffrey Giuliano. And
swipe, delete.
Yeah. So I'm going, I know this name. I know this name. So I open it up, I read it, and I said, and you know, he's got this paragraph. He says, you know, you're the perfect vehicle for me to come back out, and so I can, you know, clear the air about, you know, about my books and the past and all that stuff. And I can't believe what I'm seeing myself. And so right out of the blue, so I go, okay, let me get with my my co-host, and we'll talk about.
I thought you said, let me get with my people.
Yeah, let me get with my people.
Yeah,
let me get with my person.
Right, and you know, I'll get back to you.
Okay. Nice political way to say.
Exactly. You know, and it was late at night too. I mean,
I'll be honest. I almost was like, let's do it just for the fact that this guy is a high profile.
Which I can understand clown. That too.
Because but then we thought about the implications of our show getting blacklisted, or kind of like they're really trying to go for salacious BS. Stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And then, on top of that, I thought, okay, this could be the Vic Garbarini interview all over again. You know, so I was hesitant. I still hadn't turned him down at the point. Hold on 1 second. So I reached out to Ken and Kit.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and just for a little advice, because you know, obviously they've been, you know, this isn't their first rodeo or whatever. So I asked them what their thoughts were. And they were said, you know what, skip it. So, you know, I took their advice to heart, and I got back with Giuliano, and I said, look, I'm going to say no However, I know that there's another Paul McCartney podcast out there, and maybe he'll be interested in talking with you. So
you could have just not answered him either.
True, but I wanted to, you know, just me. I like to.
I know, but still. I mean.
Right. So I'm like, okay, there's another guy out there. So I got a hold of Sam, you know, and I told him, hey, look, you know, there's Jeffrey Giuliano contacted me. I don't think we're going to take the interview. Do you want it? So, you know, after that, you know, I know
Sam's a little bit younger than all of us, but I remember Giuliano. I remember he had some interview CDs, and the guy's face kind of creeped me out back in the 90s. Like, I'm at, like, you know, my favorite record store in Detroit, and I'm just like, ooh, who is this? You know, and I never dove into buying those CDs, and maybe I shouldn't have. But then searching the interwebs, kind of his inflated, you know, stories of Harrison, kind of divulging more than it really was. And Olivia's like, this guy's just not, he thinks he knows us, and he's kind of getting creepy. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did buy his book, the McCartney book. You know, I'll eventually get around to reading it because, you know, I just want to, I'm curious.
You fact checking it?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, I know it's total BS just from what I've read and what I've heard. So now, I mean, I just want to go back and read it and experience it myself. And I will eventually, but it's not on my, you know, it's not on my must-do list right now. So that being said, you know, I'll maybe when I retire. So that was really interesting. That's when I kind of felt like, okay, we're getting somewhere, you know. When people are contacting us,
sure,
they want to, you know, come on the show, and whether it's a controversial person or not. So, you know,
as you guys have demonstrated, it takes a lot of effort and, you know, coordination to put something like this together, you know, and time. And as you guys have said, there's not that many shows that have tackled this content. So,
right,
you know, it's credit to you guys to have the four, you know, to think about, hey, let's do something different. And stick with it, you know, because I mean, you rattle off there's a handful of just dedicated McCartney podcasts.
Well, you guys are crazy, man. Like, you guys are literally, I know with the pandemic, you guys are doing like one show a week, and that's what we were sort of going to do in the first season. I think that's what we had, 26, 28 episodes, because it was going to be most, it could have been like a news thing where it was going to be like 30 minute stuff.
Right. Updates, then you, whatever.
Yeah. Then it kind of, that could run thin every week, you know. Are you just doing that every week just to be on every week? But you guys are having legit interviews and content. And
when you said like season, how did you define a season? Like back then?
Probably September to June.
Like the old TV season?
And that's why.
I looked at it as like a schooling, you know, a semester or a whole year goes September, May or June. I kind of needed that break from the summer. And the second, in between the first and second season, we did an episode in the summer for the next season. So the thing was, I wanted to take a little bit of a leisure break and maybe incur more episodes pre-recorded. But we did the Give My Regards to Broad Street, Mystery Science 3000 edition.
Right.
That's one of my favorite ones. I listened to that episode, I think, twice.
I have not even listened to it at all. You know,
other interviews that I really enjoyed, you know, knowing Richard Buskin, knowing how he is a, you know, he's not a huge McCartney solo fan, having him on, that was really fun, you know, getting his point of view, and then him getting our point of view on stuff. So that was fun. You know, I Cozen's great. I mean, he's the perfect person to come on and talk about his, you know, classical side, yeah. You know, just because he was a writer in the classical department for the New York Times, you know, so we're going to continue that series, Rodriguez was fun having him on, you know, talking about cold cuts and thinking about trying to have him come back on for a part two. So we can actually talk about the songs that were ventured for or suggested for the cold cuts and stuff like that. So, But yeah, I mean, the interviews I've always found enlightening. I don't really recall one that I didn't really care for too much, but then, you know, not all of them were as it was colorful and or as animated as like maybe a Buskin was or, you know, Jeff Cummings was, you know, so.
Well, I thought we made it when we're interviewing people across the pond, you know, mm-hmm. and we're coordinating like 7-hour time change.
Right.
And you're like, wow, we're not. You know, I kind of look in my world as like, I'm just a Wayne's World. I'm in my basement doing a radio show with my cousin. But, you know, from the outside perspective, you're like, wow, people, you know, we're bringing on high profile people.
Right. Yeah. You know, Luca Parazzi was funny. No, yeah. You know, he was in Italy. You know what? The A is for Apple. Was it Alex?
Yeah, Netherlands?
He was in Germany.
Germany,
yeah, okay. Maybe, and then, you know, obviously a bunch of people in the UK. So, you know, it was cool to get interview people from all over the world, and it's really cool to see people all over the world listening to the show. And I mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you used to give me the stats, like,
yeah, it's just like, okay, somebody from Turkey just listened to the show, or Saudi Arabia, you know, and it's just like. You know, it's really mind blowing, you know, to see people
to see
from all
that.
Over the
it
world,
is.
You know, listening to the show, you know,
well,
so
Tom,
it's a really cool thing.
Up until this past year, you know, we've only been on Podbean, you know, and we had our struggles with, you know, iTunes and the logo size resolution bullshit. And this is fine. We're just going to upload it.
Please. Like,
I was like, yeah.
But I mean, that was really cool that, okay, so David, when our first episode, David didn't get Pierre McCartney, and he wasn't going to get Pierre McCartney, but, you know, a fan bought it for him, which was really cool. And then, I've had, you know, fans and stuff send me bootlegs and stuff like that. So, you know, reaching out and communicating with the people that appreciated the show has been one of the biggest highlights for me doing the show, and I'll thank them, you know, towards the end of the show. Go ahead.
These podcasts are kind of making those forums archaic. You know, these podcasts, you kind of interact with your, you know, like through Talk More Talk, the real live Facebook, you know, commentary. So it's really like everyone's together on this rather than just a forum.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, so David then decides to leave, and, you know, I was 99% sure, okay, I'm going to do something different, and I was going to, you know, like David said, you know, I was going to get on YouTube, I was going to have a channel, and I was going to, you know, do author interviews, and that's all I wanted to do, because I have all these books, like I said, a lot of them that I haven't read yet, but I wanted to start reading them and then just interviewing a bunch of authors.
Yeah.
You know, having them on and talking about, you know, their journey, their story about the book and whatnot. So that's where I really wanted to go. But then in the back of my head, I'm going, you know what? There's a guy out there who did one episode of a show, and I listened to it, and it was really good. You know, he's doing it himself, so he knows how to the technical end of it, you know, and he's articulate, and, you know, and so I'm like, back in my mind, I know he's a writer because he wrote a really cool, you know, Paul McCartney piece, and I think this guy would be pretty good. So out of the blue one day, I'm at work, and I told him about, look, I got to message somebody real quick. And, you know, messaged Andy, and then within minutes, I think you messaged me back and said, hell yeah, you know. And I was actually kind of surprised because I didn't know how serious or involved you were with your Backwards Traveler show.
Well, I was just really testing the waters with it. I wanted to get into it and wanted to start doing it, you know, and because people had always been said, you know, you move to Liverpool for 2 years, you know, this is like what you're going to do. You know, so when are you going to do your own thing? And finally, I got to a point in my life where I was like, okay, I can devote the time to do this, so I'm going to start doing it. So I just kind of came up with it one day and did it, you know, and you saw it. And I know I really haven't gone back to it, but I've channeled all that energy into Two Legs, and I think you're seeing the fruits of that relationship and collaboration with me and Tom now. And I think people are like, wow, just, you know, well, you're ever going to go back to backwards travel? I'm like, well, no, because I enjoy the two legs.
Right.
I enjoy what this was then and what it's now, right. Because it's just grown in the year that it's been. So, you know, I can't thank you enough for reaching out to me, because the timing was just, it worked out. You know, I was entering right. to that, I was coming to that world of the people on, you know, in our circle there on Facebook with the podcasting and following the same pages and the groups and all that stuff.
Right.
So you saw that, which was, you know, thank you for seeing that and mm-hmm. listening to it and saying, oh, I'll give this guy a shot and see how it goes, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm glad I did, because like I said, I mean, I was, you know, close to doing something else, and I really wanted to continue this and then hopefully, you know, make it what it is now, like, you know, a video podcast and all that.
You had stuff, said so. That you said, oh, I'm really just looking for some help on the tech end.
Yeah.
You know, because my cousin David my co-host used to do all that stuff. And I'm like, hey, you've got the right guy.
So, yeah. And so thank you for that. I mean, you know, having you on has been, you know, a great shot in the arm. It's making me take this even more seriously than what I was, in the sense of being prepared. You know what I mean?
I agree.
You know, so I want, you know, it's important to get your facts straight. It's important to, you know, be prepared that way, because people are going to let you know when you screw up. Well, I mean, we've had people text, you know, email us and say, hey,
oh,
look,
sure, you said this wrong, or you wrote this wrong, whatever.
Tom, remember the mail we used to get?
Yeah.
Back in like 2017, we had a guy that just did not like us. And I'm like,
no,
it's fine.
Email.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, really?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's, you know, the show's not for everybody, you know, and I get that. You know.
And I really think, I mean, to do something on your own, you probably could have done it and handled it, but I right. it's a lot of work to do something.
It
like
is.
Ask Ken. Ask right. Ken, you know, he juggles.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I felt with Backwards Travel. It's like, you know, it took a lot of work to put that together. And you know, when there's two people to handle, like, you can, you know, some person's handling booking and guests and promotion, and the other person can handle tech stuff. It just makes things so much more easier.
Right. Right.
So,
and then, you know, you build all these friendships, and then you meet people. And then I was able to, you know, meet, you know, Dylan Seavey, who
yep.
becomes a really good friend, and somebody that I respect and I'm glad is a friend. And, you know, he's a musician, and since David was leaving, you know, I thought, okay, well, you know, it'd be cool if we can get some new music now. And, you know, how do I do that? And then, you know, so approaching Dylan and asking him if he could do a couple things, and he jumped right into it. You know, I gave him a couple ideas and he threw back a couple things, and, you know, and I really, you know, have to say thank you to him and compliment him on the work that he did. You know, on those songs that he did. And, you know, thank you. I mean, I appreciate, I can't thank you enough, Dylan. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And, you know, glad you're a friend. And, you know, every time that you've been on, it's been great. And hopefully that we'll definitely have you on again and more in the future. So
I'm trying to remember, like, when the first couple of years ago, did you have somebody else doing music at the beginning?
No, that was David's creation. Talk about the theme.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So like my idea was kind of a mashup of sorts, and it was borrowing some from other mashups, but I wanted a kind of like a theme. You hear it in season two.
Yeah.
Well, you hear in 2 and 3 where we kind of, you hear, well, and 1, 2 with, like, I'll splice Paul, like, saying two legs and adding right. echo and reverb and all that. But I don't have the studio programming to pull, like, the individual tracks from a song, and that became pricey. So I scoped out just drumming isolation tracks from YouTube and turned that into an MP3 and added into my music program and try to, like, layer this different kind of beat, you know, and it probably sounds amateurish compared to what Dylan has done, but I am a musician, but I just couldn't pull in that McCartney-esque derivativeness on.
But in a way, it was really creative too, because you take, you know, for the season one theme, you took a piece from what it was, the Liverpool sound collage.
Sound collage, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you took, you know,
parts of
in there, because it was the constant, you know, guitar lick throughout.
It did its thing then, but now, I mean, it's, I like the intro and outro music now, and I don't know if he's going to modify that for, you know, going every year, or just keep that. That's very
well. I think I was wondering, maybe we could like get, you know, up another, you know, in a year or two, change it up or something, get different themes. I mean, if he's willing to do that for us, that would be great.
But then going on producing something, it's these t-shirts. So like the first season, we never had a logo, and I think you just put like a stock photo on Podbean and Facebook, and I was at the U of M symposium the day before. No one from work's listening to this right now, but I created this old school typewriter, kind of like McCartney 2-esque, or, you know, just typed out two legs and our name, and I laminated it, and I made a bunch of these like laminated stupid cards, and I handed them out to some people. I don't know if they even kept them. You know, I handed the, you know, Kittle Tool and Anthony to Curtis. It was so like, felt like 1987 or something. I'm creating like posters that stick on a telephone pole. But
so moving forward, we've been able to have all these, you know, authors and DJs and people that have interviewed McCartney, and then moving forward, I think, you know, coming in the coming months, I really want to try to start getting musicians that have worked with McCartney. And you know, I have been in contact with an artist named Lindsay Pagano, who did the great So Bad cover back in, I think, early 2000s, when Paul was doing Driving Rain, I think it was. And so Paul, you know, came in and did some, you know, backing vocals on that. So, you know, we have been in contact with her, and now just, you know, Paul's in her court. She knows she's agreed to come on. So now we're just trying to come up with the date. So hopefully that's a start of, you know, like I said, having more musicians on now that that have worked with Paul. And that's really what, you know, my goal is in the future, is to, you know, get those kind of people on, you know, and I know it's going to be a little tougher, you know, to reach out to those people. But that's the goal.
Well, I was this close to mention it to Denny Lane when I met him last year, but I was like, I'm just some bum fan. Like, you know, with the podcast, you know, I just felt
the
like
groundwork is there. We talked to Dan, and Dan met, you know, knows Jeff and Denny. So the groundwork is there for that, to get to that point, to get musicians on here at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cool. So, okay, that's memory lane. Okay, let's move into a little game here. I know we did remove three, add three. So now we're going to do – we're off to a new game called Skip or Play.
Skip it or play it with
– Yeah, skip it or play it. We're going to take press to play, and we're going to talk about whether or not we're going to skip or play the track.
We picked it because it was one of the more, you know,
more controversial albums out there. The ones that, you know, people either love it or hate it. There's usually some people that are right in the middle that
what
either
about
love
the people
half
that
of
don't
it
even know or, about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the McCartney diehards, even the casual McCartney fan, will probably know Press to Play. Not as well as us, maybe not as well as us. But anyways, we're gonna do a skip or play right now. So and you know, if this goes well, maybe we'll continue this one in the future, in future shows. But we're gonna just do the regular the CD version. Now the album was just the 10 tracks all the way to However Absurd. Now, the CD version had the three B-sides right away, It's Not True and Tough on a Tightrope. So we're going to add those and call it a day. I know the 93 version also has Spies Like Us and Once Upon a Long Ago, but we're gonna cancel that. So we'll just do the 13 tracks.
Yeah.
So let's start. Okay, so track one, Stranglehold. David, skip or play?
It's a fun song.
You know. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're playing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good call. All right. I'm playing it. I am a big 80s sax fan. You know, during the 80s, there was many a great sax solo and many a great 80s classic songs. However, I don't always like the ones Paul has, but this one I do enjoy. So I play Stranglehold. Andy,
playing it hands down, playing it. Yeah, it's not the strongest album opener that he's had in his own, but it's good. You know, I've had the album for 30 years. I've never skipped it, so that's cool. Not a skip for me. Stranglehold to play.
Very, very good. Second track, Good Times Coming, Feel the Sun. For me, one of the best songs on the album. I always play this one. I was glad to see this one on Pure McCartney. I'm glad to see, you know, he had a couple tracks to represent Press to Play.
Yeah.
Andy,
This falls into the category of used to skip it, but no longer do.
Gotcha.
It was a song, again, it took a while, probably... Really, until its appearance on Pure McCartney, where I was like, you know what? Because it's on that, I like that now. So I like how it's broken into two songs, and it's slow. It goes into one thing, and it goes.
Good times coming.
Right. Yeah. Feel the sun shining. That's good. Yeah. I like it. That is a play song. So two for two for me.
Gotcha, David.
It's upbeat. It's just his vocal at the beginning. I don't know. It's just. I need more time with it. Like I'll tell you, I like when it goes into the Feel the Sun part, mm-hmm. you know?
So do you play it to get to that part?
I'll be honest. I don't really play this all much. So it's just,
you're skipping it.
Yeah.
All right.
Just the vocal kind of just not grabbing me.
It's a little bit of a scratch screaming vocal there at the opening. It is.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, track three, Talk More Talk. This is my first skip.
Right? I was wondering how he was going to vote on this song. I really was.
I can't get past the little weird, you know, Revolution 9 talking at the beginning and at the end of this track. The track itself is okay. I don't think it's the best thing on the album, so this is I skip this. Andy, what say you?
I skip it too. It's got a halfway decent chorus, you know, but other than that, there's too much going. I don't like the beginning of it with the spoken word stuff. Yeah. I don't like it. So that's it. That's an automatic skip on mine.
Okay. I like the darkness of after the spoken word. You know, like the horn. You know, the keyboard horns. But
anyway, skip or play, David.
Okay. You could definitely cut the intro out. You know, that's just so like feels like something from, you know, Give My Regards to Broad Street. You know.
All right, moving on. Track four, Footprints. This is one of my favorite songs from this album. I love it. I love the Spanish feel to it, the Spanish guitar feel to it. Love the lyrics. I love the he likes it in the snow part. I just love that part. Jerry Marotta. There you go. Yeah. I play Footprints like a mother. I love Footprints. Andy?
Again, this falls into the Good Times Come and Feel the Sun category. Used to skip for a long, long time. I no longer do. Nice ballad. Really? Yeah, again, took a long, long time to warm up to it, though, for sure. Like years. But it's grown on me. So this is no longer a skip. I enjoy it. Again, the guitar playing, it's in a good little ballad, you know, that just kind of just flies on the radar on the whole album, really.
It does. And then that's not when you, I think it's not really until you've played the album, you know, several times that where you really come to.
Where you come back, because there's so many other songs that you jump out to before that one.
Right.
But no, that's a used to skip, but no longer do. Cool. I play it.
Do it. Nice. David?
His vocals still run me the wrong way, but musically,
I think it's a great vocal for him.
Yeah,
agreed.
Right, I'll keep it because let's keep it.
All right, very good, good choice. Track five, the track that ends side one, Only Love Remains. Andy, what are you doing?
Play it on repeat.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer for me. I think this is
no-brainer.
Yeah, this is, I think, one of his best ballads out there. I play Only Love Remains.
Yeah, the live versions that are out there that he did, you know, it's obviously he felt strongly enough about it to play it live,
right.
You know, in 86 there a little bit too to promote it, even though it didn't really do well. But again, this just checks the box on classic ballad McCartney, so that is a automatic play.
Cool. All right, David.
Yeah, it's like up there with, you know, Beautiful Night and Once Upon a Long Time, you know, that ballad-esque kind of epic kind of piano ballad. I mean, I had a loss of words. It's a great song.
All right, so you play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay, good. We're flipping this bad boy over.
I mean, Tom, what would you have said? I said this song blows, and you guys are like, "All right, we're stopping this interview."
I'll be like, "Okay, it was good seeing you, buddy."
Yeah. See, we're the 200th. Nope. All right. See.
All right, so we're gonna turn this baby over. We're gonna go side two. We're gonna start with "Press," which is the lead off single. I think this was one of his best lead off singles in my opinion. I love the song, love the video, and I always play "Press." David, what do you say? I know you know this song well, so you don't need too much time to listen to it.
Oh, I mean, watching a lot on the, you know, McCartney years DVD, him on the bus or the whatever, the train, subway. Yeah.
The two.
No, this is a great song.
All right. So you're playing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Andy.
Absolutely playing it. Yeah. Great melody, great production. As David said, great video. So, it's full, chock full of that Hugh Padgham gated drum stuff, but I still love it anyway. And it's one of his best songs. Great song. That's a play it.
Yes. Very good. Okay, this is where the album gets really dicey for me. Pretty Little Head. Now, unfortunately, this version I skip. However, if the single edit was on the album, I would.
Bingo.
Play. Yes.
Bingo.
So that version, the version on the album, I skip.
Yeah, I'm with you, partner. That is a skip track. Because I don't know why he decided to remix it and then have his nice isolated vocal, which sounds great.
Exactly.
You can hear him clearly. It's a great, because it's a great melody, and you can hear him clearly singing on that, on the 7-inch or the 12-inch remix. Right. You know, and then he puts this album track on and his voice is just buried in there and drenched in echo, and it sounds like crap. Mm. But this version, the album version, I'm skipping. But if I could replace it. Well, you heard me the other night when we were on our call. I was playing the remix.
Yeah, that's right.
So, this as the on the album itself is a skip.
Right. Yeah. David?
Musically, yeah, it's, you know, I like kind of like the xylophone. It's not my go-to track, and I could see how it would work as like actually an extended long play for like a club back in that day, and I keep it just to go against, you know.
Okay, moving on. Move Over Buster. Again, you know, there's times where I'm in the mood for it, but most of the time I skip this one. You know, the lyrics are all, you know, all over the place. Don't really care for it that much. And I've listened to this song many times, but as much as I've tried to get into this one is 95% of the time a skip, so I'm just going to go with skip. And Andy, what say you?
This is a play it. This
well,
is
all right.
Yeah, this is a play it. Listen, what better can you get than when I saw Mae West in a sweaty vest and I said, I'll come and see you sometime.
Right.
Listen, lyrically, it's a jumble. I agree with you. I just like the energy on this track. I like how it opens up. You know, it's again, and I'm going to harken back to what I said about a couple of the other songs. It was a skip song back in the day for me, but that over time has grown on me. It's like some of the other songs on this album. So gotcha. This is a play a track for me. Production on it too. And the, you know, again, it's got a lot of that kind of shouting chorus stuff going on it now. I thoroughly enjoy Move Over Busker now. So play it.
Gotcha. Baby. Cool. All right, David.
It can be a grower. It's definitely not a shower of a song. So I think I keep it and try to live with it. And it's catchy, but I'll keep it.
Okay, excellent. All right, moving on. Angry.
I think we're going to be unanimous on this one, I think.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. Listen, I'm still up in the air about this one. I have mixed feelings about it. At right now, I play it. However, that being said, when you know who's on this track, you know it's Phil Collins, Pete Townsend, McCartney. Mm. You know who's on this track.
Good
and
point.
This is what they come up with.
Yeah.
For that reason, it's kind of a letdown. But because it's those three, I play it. David?
Paul's on bass on this track, right?
I believe so, yes.
You can hear like Motown influence right off the bat, you know, the first 2 seconds. So right there, that grabs my attention. I didn't realize the history of this song. So Townsend and Collins on this
Collins
song.
Collins on it. And then now McCartney, you know, was influenced from, you know, articles in the newspaper. You know, writings about him and look, it's one of the very small handful of rockers that he does in the 80s.
Yeah, that's a rarity. Yeah, let's skip it.
Okay, very good. Andy?
Skipping it.
Ah, okay. Final track on the LP version, However Absurd. It's a track that I come to appreciate just a touch more. But I'm skipping this one. It's not a favorite, but if from time to time I'll play it. But if I'm listening to this album, by this point in time, I'm ready to move on from this album. And
he burned out by this point.
Yeah, but so I skip this song. Andy?
I play it only because after the horrors of Angry, nothing could be as bad as that. And that's okay. that's on that merit, I play it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I like it. It's not a bad song. It's
I think it's Lennon-esque in a way.
Very Lennon-esque.
Very rock, like Lennon rock well. And roll-esque, you know.
Yeah. No, Lennon ballad.
I think it's Lennon Beatles-esque. How about that?
Well, I meant like the album rock and roll or like mid-70s Lennon-ish?
No, I'm thinking more...
It just opens up with that like nice crashing piano sound. Then after right. Angry, it's like, oh, this actually sounds somewhat interesting.
Right.
And that's why I play it.
Yeah, David, skip or play, buddy.
I it's too bombastic with the 80s production at the end. Let's skip it.
Okay.
Because I know good. There's five other tracks on this.
That's the album closer, right?
That's the LP closer. Now on the CD, you've got the 86 CD, I should say. You've got the three B sides. You got right. The Right Away. You got It's Not True, and you got Tough on a Tightrope. And just to shorten things up, I play all of those.
You do play all three of them.
I play all of them. I would so much prefer, this album would have been so much better if those three tracks replaced a couple
other ones. I agree with that. I'll say that I play all three also. Again, I kind of link up Tough on a Tightrope with Pretty Little Head in terms of the single versions, the extended version of Tough on a Tightrope. The 12-inch one,
right.
Single, way better than the one that closes the album.
Gotcha.
In my opinion. Okay. But yeah, I would, those three bonus tracks, if they were on the main album, makes this album even better.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. Well, out of those three, Right Away maybe might be the least one.
Right Away is my favorite of the three.
Right Away is?
Yeah, yeah.
So then It's Not True or If Tough Enough. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, generally all players.
Right, yeah. Actually, the way they are, the order that they're in, is how I consider them favorite to least favorite.
Oh, agree.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, exactly. So I played all three. David, I don't know how familiar you are with these three tracks. So, you know, I don't know if you play or skip
all three. I'd play Right Away, and maybe the other two are kind of like, yeah. Are we going to the 93 version at all?
No, we're not. This is it.
Oh, well, I'm going to say Once Upon a Long Time, Long Ago would have been helpful on this album somewhere. I mean, just...
It came out, I mean, it was recorded.
It was after.
Yeah.
After the fact.
You know?
So, I would say, if you took like the first five or six songs of Flowers in the Dirt and like the best of this album and combine them, I think he would have had a really solid 80, mid to late 80s album. Mm-hmm. I mean... Was he, did he leave Columbia around that time? Was he back with?
No, Columbia was 79. I think he signed with Columbia after.
No, when he left. Columbia, yeah. Press to Play was the first new deal back with EMI.
EMI,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
But then, okay, cool. That's Skipper Play. Maybe we'll continue this off into the future. Let's wrap things up. David, thank you for being here. Thank you for starting this with me. Andy, thank you for continuing this with me. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Andy, for keeping him happy.
I'm happy to be aboard. Thank you guys for starting something and then that we can continue on. You know, without you guys starting it up, I'm not sitting here. So
Maybe in the future I'll talk about how Talk More Talk sprouted from two legs. But anyways, you know, thank you. A couple people, I mentioned Dylan. Again, I want to just acknowledge Dylan. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your schedule to put the songs that you did for this show.
Thank you, Dylan.
I really appreciate it.
You're the man.
Yeah. Two people that, you know, like I said, when David was putting posting the show on that Mac forum, two people were very vocal from the get-go, and that's Don Maley and Edward Crawford. Both of you guys, as I try not to get too emotional, I've come to know both of you very well on a personal level. I got to meet Don. You know, he flew down here and we saw McCartney together 2 years ago in 18. Oh. And that was special. Edward, I talked to a lot, and you know, he's a big bootleg guy like you guys. So he sent me some bootleg stuff. You know, he sent me the Return to Pepperland bootleg, Cold Cuts bootlegs as well. So I want to thank him. You guys, talking with you and getting to know you guys, it has been a joy. And thank you for all your output, and just thank you for being friends. I remember when I was part of the Las Vegas shooting that happened a few years back, and those two were like two.
That was the McCartney night for me in Detroit.
Yeah,
so coming home. Or I woke up the next morning and I'm like, oh, and I couldn't imagine. I know we did our show not long after that, but I couldn't imagine what you were going through at that time. Yeah. I mean, psychologically.
Yeah. I mean,
glad you're here.
I mean, it was a tough night, something I hope I don't have to ever relive again. But those two were two of the first people that reached out to me to see, you know, how I was doing, and I'll never forget that. You know, thank you guys. I appreciate
it. So thank you guys for that. Thank you.
So yeah, so actually, so that's it. That's 100 episodes of Two Legs, and we hope, like I said, you know, hopefully we'll continue to grow, continue to get great guests that have great stories about McCartney, and Andy and I will continue to hopefully grow as hosts, and you know, and we'll you know, just keep getting better and better. And David, we'll love to have you back on from time to time again. You know, just tell your wife to keep sending me those pictures of
them, God. Man, you know.
Anyways, thank you everybody. As everybody knows, we're now on Fab Four Radio, so you can check us out on there. I think we're on the weekends at 8 p.m. Central Times. YouTube channel, check us out, please. Our YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney Podcast. Please check that out and subscribe. That's where you're going to see all our wonderful faces, and you'll see David for the first time, you know, or second time actually. Andy's been working hard to get us all on all these new platforms. We're on Spotify now. He's getting us on Amazon, who's now getting into the podcasting game. He's got us on iTunes. He's got us on iHeartRadio, Google Chrome, you know, Amazon Kindle, you name it. We're on it. And are we on Pandora now? Are we officially on Pandora?
I'm still waiting for official notification. I submitted the request to be on there. So if we're not on there, we will be very soon.
Okay. So great. Yeah. So we're everywhere. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Everybody, thank you so much. We love your comments. We love that you listen to us or you watch us and you reach out to us and let us know how we're doing. Thank you so much. We really look forward to those. And if we suck, please let us know. I mean, constructive criticism is great. I'm all for it. I learned about that a long time ago, so I got thick skin. Don't worry about it. If you think we suck, I don't care. But anyways, as always, everybody out there, have a great day. Have a beautiful night. David, Andy, thank you. Take care.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and